Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Full of energy today.
Yeah, full of energy and sounding like a creepy old man.
Yeah, welcome to the Double Cleanse podcast. My name's James Welsh.
Oh, and my name's Robert Welsh. Hi.
Yes, how are things?
Yeah, really, really great this week.
Last time since we spoke, you've built your Disney castle.
Oh God, was that last week? Seems so long ago. Yeah, it took 3 days.
Yeah.
Took three mm-hmm. days. It was great. It's been a great experience.
Yeah, it does look beautiful.
Yeah, it's changed my life. I'm trying to think of anything else. It's really difficult to have something interesting happen to you when you don't actually do anything.
Yeah, I know.
You have to make your moments, don't you?
Yeah, you have to make your...
Create your own moments.
Create your own moments, yeah.
Anything happened with you this week?
No. Do you know what I did do, though? This is really boring, but, you know, at the height of excitement at the moment with, you know, seeing as we can't leave the house right now.
Sure.
I bought these plastic, like, display... not PVC. What's that thick plastic called? Terracotta.
No. Terracotta. I got some...
Terracotta.
No, it's...
Perspex.
Perspex, that's it.
Perspex. Perspex shelves, so I can organise my skincare a bit more on my vanity. So, like, everything's, like, on different levels, and it looks really organised and nice.
Nice. Well, you just completely froze on my phone, so I don't know what you just said.
Oh, I just said my vanity looks nice.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Oh, my Yankee candles arrived this week.
Perfect, perfect.
Yeah, so that's something.
Anything in skincare you've been loving?
Oh, God, skincare I've been loving. Do I'm really proud of myself. I'm on a 22% vitamin C serum at the moment.
Is that a hot? A lot.
Yeah. I mean, I've gone from using like a 5% to a 15 to a 22%. So it's a bit more than I've been on. But the vitamin C is encapsulated, which means it's less irritating on the skin.
Well, yeah, vitamin C, first of all, makes my skin, I don't know, because I always feel like I use vitamin C's and I use, like, vitamins, things like that, and serums when I have, like, a skin, like, moment where I'm like, this is me now, I'm going to start a whole routine. And then I start to use things together that I probably haven't even used before. And then something breaks me out and I'm like, well, it was that. Vitamin C.
Yeah.
But it could be something really different, you know?
Well, it could be something different. But things like actives, like, and antioxidants, well, not antioxidants as such, but actives are going to make you break out. Anything that's like, say, entering your skin. Anything that's entering. Like helping with cell turnover or any actives basically are going to make you break out for a little bit.
Yeah, it's annoying. It's very annoying. Listen, though. So let me tell you something.
Right.
There's three things I've used new this week. And none of it's makeup. I'm looking around to see what... Actually, I've bought loads of new makeup, but it's boring. Well, it's not boring. It's really good. But I've been using my new face system. Mm-hmm. You know, that electric facial thing.
Oh god, I keep meaning to buy that.
Listen, do you want my old one?
No, gross. Want a new one?
No, my mini.
Oh, that thing.
Yeah, because yes? I bought the whole system. So it has, like, you know, the red light, you know, that's like for wrinkles, things like that. Oh, wait, which I've forgotten to use. And then it has like the two balls, which are normal. And then it has like this two like prongs, like metal prongs. Yeah. And I've been using it around my eye area for a week. And I've been using this thing for like a year anyway. Mm. But I forgot how good it was. I stopped for a little while and I forgot how good it was. I've been using it around my eye area. It's like the only way I can describe it is, like, you know those, like, ab muscle belts where they're, pop the contact fluid on and then it pinches your muscles? It's that in your face, but you don't feel it. No, not at all. You don't feel it. Nothing like that. But, oh, my God, it makes my skin so smooth. My eye area is really, really smooth. And then, guess what I've been using?
Tell me.
Niacinamide. Yeah, which I don't really use a lot, despite what you say. Mm. But I had a huge breakout on my forehead this week. Like, I was like, what am I doing wrong? Why am I being punished? Mm. Why is my life turning upside down?
There's a whole list of things that's done wrong.
And I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was this
niacinamide.
I was using that, but I also use this. So usually I don't like rate the Body Shop products.
Yeah.
I'm like a little bit like hit or miss with it.
Dubious, yeah.
Yeah, but I got this mask. I can't remember what it was. So I don't even know what I'm talking about because I can't even say what it was.
The Himalayan.
Wasn't that package we got?
Yeah, the Himalayan.
Was that it?
Was it? Oh, I got the Chinese ginseng and rice mask. I think you got a different one.
Oh, I got a different one. It was like, it's grey.
Okay.
But, oh my god, so I used that on my forehead one day, because I get spots, I'm like, right, put something on it. Mm. And then I use the niacinamide.
Sure.
And then I use some pimple patches, and literally the next day, gone. There's like a few little marks where I picked them, but nothing crazy. And now I don't know what it is that's done that.
Well, this is the thing. Like, first of all, it could be this. You use the ordinary niacinamide, don't you?
No, I use a different one.
What one?
The one I got from Good Molecules.
Good Molecules.
I really don't know what it is, but it's recovered me completely.
Yeah, beautiful.
As if by magic.
Niacinamide can help with, like, uneven skin tone, texture. It helps with your skin barrier as well, so it helps it function normally. So it could help with your breakouts and stuff. But then also that mask, is it a clay mask?
Yes, yeah.
So they help massively as well. But they kind of, like, dry out spots a little bit too.
So I'm not patient enough to let it dry out.
Yeah. Oh no, that's good. I take them off like before they dry out completely. But this is the thing: when you're doing a new skincare routine, as tempting as it is, you shouldn't introduce loads of products at the same time.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're not going to know what works for you and what isn't. If that makes sense.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. Because I don't know what's making my skin break out.
Yes, but idiot.
Yes, you're stupid. Listen, I spent a lot of money.
How much?
On Pat McGrath Labs. It was about, it was just slightly over £700.
£700?
Yeah, just over.
And,
but here's how I see it, right? My subscribers wanted me to review it, because I do a series of videos on my channel where I do like a full face off. So, and it'll be a full face off a certain brand. And people have been asking so much for this brand, and I was like, I had a tax rebate.
How Robert gets tax rebates every single year, and I don't
understand. And I'm on the right tax code. I'm on the right tax code. Yeah.
Do not understand how it happens. I've had one in my life, and it was like £200.
I had a tax rebate of £500. So it was an unexpected chunk of money that I didn't need. No, that's really ignorant. But you know what? I'm going to use all this stuff anyway. This stuff was really, really incredible. There was a primer in the whole set, basically. It was the most incredible primer. You can actually see it transform my skin on camera. Ooh. Like, I'm talking just normal, and then I look in my monitor, I'm like, is it just me, or is my skin completely smoothed out? Like, texture, color, it looked like a very subtle, like, as if I just put something on my face. It was so good. And everyone in the comments was agreeing. They were like, yeah, it has completely changed. And I put like a side-by-side of when I was talking a few minutes ago to then. And I can't remember how much. I think the primer is either £30 or £50. But it kind of restored my faith in expensive brands.
Right.
Because sometimes, not all of them, because a lot of them are just a load of crap, but I can see that a lot of effort and a lot of thought has been put into this brand. Yeah, it's a lot of money, but I'm going to use it all the time. It's my job in two different ways, you know, so I'm gonna make it up.
That's the thing with makeup, though, is like you can pretty much see if it's worth the price immediately. So I did a video recently on expensive makeup, skincare, and like what was worth it and whatnot. And my, like, looking through the ingredients and with the kind of like basic knowledge I have, there was nothing to warrant any of them being that expensive.
Yeah, yeah.
As far as like the ingredients goes, yeah, they were nicely formulated, they felt nice on the skin, but as far as a special ingredients or benefits, there didn't seem to be anything. So I always feel like skincare is a real gamble. You never really know. And do you know what annoys me? In America, if skincare doesn't work for you, you can take it back.
Can you?
You can refund it. Sephora take refunds.
Oh, nice. That's pretty good. I think that's a good thing. Let's talk about what we actually want to talk about this week, which was...
So, Robert is obviously a professional makeup artist.
Yes, professional.
Professional. I used to be a personal shopper and a stylist. So my job was to dress people and build up their wardrobe, basically. And what we thought we'd do today is just have a little chat about some of our best clients, some of the worst, some stories we have, and maybe some celebrity names if we have a story.
Yeah.
Yeah, if it doesn't sound too name-droppy. I mean, it doesn't, because we don't do that anymore. Like, no one cares.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
Should we start with you?
We can start with me.
So tell us a bit first of all about where you've worked, like the exact places where you've worked, what ones were good, what ones were bad.
So I've done quite a few jobs, both retail and then freelance and then like makeup wise. So I've done a lot. I spent a lot of my career with MAC, working in their pro store, being a part of a pro team, and then and then doing like, you know, like retail. So but then also I did jobs with them. I also worked for a company, I just all this stuff is coming back into my brain just like really suddenly. I've done all this stuff. I worked for a company where we it was like a mini makeup agency. So I got a few jobs with them. This was when I worked in
strip
were we living
club.
At the time? No, that's another job. This was alongside when I was working in Soho, when I was working in the Mac Pro store in Carnaby Street. This was years and years and years and years ago. I did that alongside that. So I did jobs. There were so many jobs within that job.
Yeah.
That's actually one job that I had with them was one of the worst, but I'll go into that as well. Like you said, I worked in a strip club doing makeup for the dancers in there.
Oh, sorry, you mean a gentleman's sports bar.
Gentleman's sports bar, yes. And then there's other jobs I've done, like shoots and things like that.
Sure.
So I'm trying to think. What the worst? And so one of the worst jobs I did, right, was when it was the Olympics here in London. What year was that?
Oh, 2020? That has to be no, one of the worst. Year. That's this year. I can't remember. But that was one of the worst years to live in London. I have to be honest. Like,
it was
non-stop tourists, everyone going on about it. People were getting the Olympic logo tattooed on them and stuff.
Yeah.
And it was just chaotic for a whole year.
Right.
It's absolutely insane.
I did a job with McDonald's. The Olympics. Do you not remember this?
No.
So it was because they were a sponsor of the Olympics. So we there was a setup, and it was kind of like there were chefs from America, and like they were kind of famous, but I didn't recognize them, so they weren't like on your TV famous. I don't know. They probably were, and they basically had there were three chefs, and then there were like two apprentices, and they were basically making like meals in this kitchen, basically. So it was male grooming, which is possibly one of the most boring jobs to do anyway. But it was constant, like, it was sweat, and because they were cooking all the time. There was this one guy who kept getting food in his hair. Because they weren't like wearing hats. There was a hairstylist as well, but they weren't like wearing hats or anything like this because they were on TV and it was kind of meant to look like, you know, like it's a really nice kitchen. There was this fake kitchen set up with obviously like a real working hob, whatever. Yeah. And it was just one of the worst jobs I've ever done. The directors were really extremely, extremely rude.
What was it? Sorry, an advert for McDonald's for the Olympics?
No, it was like I think it was like a mini series that was going like on McDonald's like YouTube or something like that, or on TV, and it was like little clips of today we're making this, and then they would make like a healthy like dish, you know? But yeah, the directors were really, really rude. As in the people that worked for McDonald's, not the director of the adverts. Not so much to me. They just didn't really speak to me, which kind of made me feel uncomfortable. And I was younger back then as well. One of the chefs were actually really, really nice. But I had to keep on... This one boy who I said kept getting food in his hair, he kept sweating so much to a point where I had to keep on, whenever we had a second break, I had to run on to like the thing and like pat his face down.
Oh my God.
Because he was sweating so much, and then reapply like powder, and I had to keep changing my brush because then this brush would have had like sweat on it. So then I had to put that away, get a clean brush. It was one of the worst jobs I think I've ever done in my life. It was just really uncomfortable. And then, what else? The strip club is a different story. So yeah. I worked there from, it was 11 till 3 in the morning. 11 o'clock at night to 3 in the morning. And it was really good. It was a really good job. The girls are all really, really nice. And then one day, so I don't do hair. A lot of makeup artists do hair and makeup, and I just don't. I've never been interested in it. Yeah. I've never wanted to do hair at all. And then one of our best friends is a hairstylist, like a really amazing, amazing hairstylist. And I asked him once, they asked me if I could do hair. I was doing just makeup for weeks. And then one day they were like, oh, do you think you could start doing the hair? And I really didn't want to lose this job because it was good money.
Yeah.
And it was like an extra, you know, extra money. I was like, oh my God, absolutely I can do hair. So I thought it would be... I got our friend to teach me how to just do like a GHD curl, because then I was like, if I can do that, then I can do anything.
Yeah.
And so this one girl, the next day, this girl was sitting in my chair. I did her makeup, and it was so great because I had my own little area, my own little room with like amazing lights and all this stuff. And they had to get their makeup done by me. So it was a guaranteed kind of income. It was a guaranteed set amount at night. And I did her hair, and it was the worst thing ever. And I think as a makeup artist, you can tell when your client is slightly unhappy.
Yeah.
And usually I can investigate into it. I can be like, what's going on? You know, what can we fix? But with hair, I don't know I didn't know what to say. So that evening, I think I gave her money back. I was like, I can tell you're not happy. So here's your money back. And then I never went back again.
Oh no.
I was so embarrassed and like let down by myself that I just never went back, and that was the end of that job. Yeah. They were my two worst, well, not worst because the other one was better, but they were my two like worst jobs.
Have you ever had any, because being a makeup artist is one of those jobs where like even though you're the professional, a client that you have will sit there and like tell you what to do and what they like and don't like, and they obviously have their preferred ways of doing their own makeup. Have you ever had any like awful nightmare clients, like rude, like they wouldn't let you do your job?
Not so much, because with clients, I always think if you have a reason for doing something, then there's no arguing. Mm. It sounds like, why aren't you doing this? And as long as you can justify it and have a reason for it, which you should because it's your technique, then that. And if they're like, you should be doing this, as long as you can shut them down instantly, then there's... And I'm quite good at that. So I'll be like, no. However, I think I've told this story before about the photographer when I was at that wedding.
Oh my God, yeah.
So I was doing this bride's makeup, and she was one of the nicest people ever. And there was this guy who was a photographer. He was an older man in his... I reckon he was like in his early 60s. He had like a full on camera, which I'm guessing he usually uses to take pictures of like ducks or whatever. And he was doing this woman's wedding photography. He had this massive flash, and I started to do her makeup, right? And absolutely, on weddings, you have to think about the flash on cameras. You have to think about how it's going to look in photography, how it's going to look in certain lights and things like that. But I know how to do that without the aid of those things, because I just know how makeup works. He kept on, throughout it, taking pictures with a flash on and then showing me on the screen and then saying, oh, can you see this? I'm like, she's not wearing foundation yet. So yeah, her skin does look like that. Can you see this? Yeah, I haven't done that bit yet. And I was like, why do you keep doing this? Why do you keep taking pictures and telling me what to do?
Yeah.
It's absolutely not his job to be there. Like, be there and take a picture of... There's always the standard... tend to do the bride's makeup action shot, which is, you know, there's a few of them. You do their makeup, you see the photographer coming in, so you slow down and smile, and then they take a picture, you know what I mean? Like, it was always that. But he just kept, like, coming in and flashing a picture and being like, her skin looks, like, slightly... It's like, I literally haven't applied any makeup yet, and you're telling me her skin looks horrible.
Yeah.
Like, stop. Aww. Really, really stop. He was so irritating.
Do you not say anything to him?
Yeah, I was like, I haven't actually done anything yet, so maybe at the end we can take a picture and then see, you know, see how it looks like. Which actually, to be fair, I do usually ask a photographer to do. I'm like, can you take one with flash, one without flash, so we can see any mistakes, maybe something's showing up too much, whatever. But oh, he just irritated the hell out of me, and now I keep thinking about him, how annoying he was.
That's literally not a photographer's place in any way. Like, it's important to make your obviously subject look good and nice on camera. And like you said, it's kind of like the, like, when we do a shoot, right, you have your model and then you kind of stand behind the photographer and look at the external viewfinder, and if anything's wrong, you can speak up and run onto the set right, and readjust.
Exactly.
So it's something you do anyway. It's part of the process, whether you're shooting in the studio or like real life weddings and stuff. That's so annoying. I'm really pissed off the whole day.
Yeah, it was super, super irritating. And that's the thing as well. Like, you do, if I'm doing someone's wedding makeup, I will hang around for a little bit afterwards. I don't finish and I'm like, bye. I stay until it's like, okay, time for him to go. Then I do last minute touch-ups. I give the maid of honor the lipstick so she can hold onto that so her bride doesn't have to worry about it. And then they're set, they're done, you know, for the whole day. Unless they've paid me to stay the whole day. But it isn't a photographer's place to be like, actually, can you, you know, you should be doing this with makeup. And I'm guessing this 60-year-old man wasn't a makeup artist, you know?
Yeah. This is the problem with, like, older photographers, not stereotyping here, but a lot of older photographers who do things like weddings and, like, family reunions. When in university, my lecturer would talk about he'd say, like, all the gear but no idea. And it's this idea of, like, a lot of, like... photographers used to invest in a load of like equipment, like lenses that they don't need to shoot a wedding. Just kind of like, what am I saying? I don't know. They're shit.
it's like, just because you've paid a lot for the equipment, that doesn't reflect the quality of your work. Exactly. Like, somebody could use really, really expensive makeup and still be bad. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, like, it doesn't reflect just because something's high quality, you know?
Yeah, doesn't mean you know how to use it.
Exactly.
Robert.
Yeah.
What about a really lovely job you've done, please?
Let me tell you, and I'll mix this in with a celebrity one, because I was extremely lucky that I got to do Erin O'Connor, who is a supermodel, her makeup. And this wasn't for any occasion. It wasn't for anything. It wasn't like, it wasn't a fashion week thing. It wasn't a shoot or anything like that. This is when I worked for MAC. And I wasn't new, because I was in the pro store at the time. And at that time, you had to have like a certain, what's the word?
Level of skill.
To work in that shop. And I remember I was on my lunch break and my manager comes downstairs and she's like, can you do an appointment after your break? And because at this point in my life, I had a really bad attitude. I was like,
at that point in his life, no longer now.
I was like, fine, I'm not here to work, you know. I'm here to be a makeup artist. And anyway, I walk upstairs after my break, and there's this two women, and one of them is really, really tall, and she's leaning against the window and she's got sunglasses on. And I walk over, I'm like, hi, are you here for your appointment? She's like, yeah. I'm like, sit down. And then she sits in the chair and I was like, she was like, what's your name? I was like, Robert. And she was like, what's your name? And she kind of took off her sunglasses, like, and she was like, my name's Erin. And I looked at her and I was like, oh my God. So I was like, okay, bear me 1 second. I'll be right back. And out the back, we had like a little private room with a sink and a mirror, and it was for like lessons and things like that. And I just went out the back and laid on the floor. And I was like, I can't do it. Because this is a supermodel who's had like all these makeup artists that I've looked up to, the best of the best, do her makeup. And then I'm going to do it. Do you know what I mean? Like, I can't do it. And I just kind of curled up, and my manager came out and started laughing. I was like, I can't do it. I really, really can't do it. She was like, well, there's no one else. She was like, you'll be absolutely fine. Go and do it. So I spent the whole time not talking. She spoke so much to me, trying to speak to me. And I wish the amount of things I could have asked her, like who she worked with, all this amazing stuff. And the whole time I was just like, yeah.
Oh,
and
no.
she was, but I just couldn't, I just thought, let me concentrate, let me get this whole thing done, and then she'll be absolutely fine. And she was just there to have like a normal, nice time. Like, she was with her friend and they were going to see Take That in concert and this kind of stuff. She was so lovely, so, so nice. And it's one of I was expecting like her to be like, oh, actually do this. I don't know why. But she was like, perfect.
So many people were
exactly,
on her face.
Exactly. Like... And she was so happy with it. And I was just thought, for somebody who has had so much amazing makeup on her, from like completely editorial, like avant-garde stuff, to like really basic, to be happy with the makeup I've done on her, and then to not be like a horrible person, I was like, oh, that was the best. And then I went out the back after that, and then just I had to take a break.
God, what a horrible experience.
It was a horrible experience, but also great. Actually, can I just say one more thing about a really horrible experience? I never take too much time. I don't know if you remember this. And this was, so when I first started doing makeup, we did a lot of shoots together as well. But you kind of work for free, and you kind of trying to build up a portfolio and, you know, do all this other stuff. Do you know what I'm going to talk about? So I worked really closely with this photographer, to a point where we kind of like came up with this whole concept of a shoot together. And I actually did hair in this shoot. I made like a globe out of hair. I got like a balloon and blew it up and like cut hair, and it looked really, really good. And I made that, and I even bought like this vintage dress for it. And it was so good. It was like a really amazing concept. And then we had an incredible model, all this kind of stuff. Anyway. So back in the day, it wasn't easy to get your prints for pictures, was it? You had to keep contacting the photographer to either send you a print or to...
send you the files.
Send you the file, or
but
to physically send you...
But photographers don't like you having the original files.
Exactly. Or even to send you, like, a physical copy that they've printed off. Either one would have been fine. Anyway, I get these physical copies through the post. Oh my God. And bear in mind, it'd been months and months. We've been planning this shoot, all this stuff. And the photographer, in like post-production, so in editing, had physically drawn over my makeup. So the makeup was like this black eye, like it was a solid black colour. She had obviously got the colour black on, like, Photoshop, whatever, with a paintbrush, and then painted that shape. It looked pitch black, no depth. It was just a solid shape on her eyes. And she'd done the same with her lips, and she did the same with skin. And I was like, this can't be it. And it went into this whole argument of me trying to get the original files to send to you to re-edit. And it just never happened. I never got the pictures. I was so angry. You get, when you, like, you don't know who you're going to work with. So unless they're, like, an incredible photographer, an amazing stylist, or amazing, like, director of a shoot, then, oh, I have another story. I'll leave that. I've said it in my
video. No, go. We have loads of time.
Then you don't really know who you're working with, if that makes sense. I did a shoot with our friend, who's a hairstylist as well, and it was a body painting one. And if you've watched my recent video, then you know the story. But I've never body painted in my life. And with makeup, body painting is completely different to makeup, if that makes sense.
Because it's a whole other skill, isn't it?
It's a whole other skill, because skin moves, the body moves, there's curves on the body that you kind of have to level out. Never in a million years would I be able to do that. So we did this shoot, and all I had to do was draw, not draw, like paint white stripes on this guy's body. And the whole shoot, it was really cool. It was like, what's that lighting called that I use in toilets to stop people taking drugs?
UV.
Blue light? UV? It was all UV. So, yeah, so the stylist had these amazing clothes that kind of go, like, you know, they were UV, like, not activated, what's the word? Like, if they look, it looks like a glow stick.
Yeah.
And everything like that looked amazing. So this white was going to come out like UV. So, and it wasn't a difficult job. Like, all they were asking me to do was paint white stripes on this guy. So he stood there and I was like, okay, lift up your arms. And then he stood there with his arms up, and I put like tape around so I could paint in between the lines of the tape. And I was like, amazing. And it went all the way to kind of like just under his like armpits, like the back of his armpits. And it didn't take long, it took like 30 minutes. And I was like, great, done. So I take off his tape and I was like, okay, you can put your arms down now. Thank you. As soon as he puts his arms down, all the stripes curve. They all curve
over. Of course, because he was up like that.
Yeah, because his skin was stretching upwards. So I was like, oh, fuck. And then I was like, I don't know what to do. Like, can we say fuck on this?
Yeah, we can say fuck.
Okay. Okay. Oh, God. I was like, I don't know what to do. I really, really don't know what to do. Because we were kind of running out of time, because I spent quite a lot of time on the female model. Because we kept changing the concept, because the stylist was like, this isn't going to look right. So it changed like two or three times. And then, yeah, we're just running out of time. I was like, I don't know what to do. So I was like to the stylist, like, what is he wearing? Luckily, he had like this jacket. It was like a fake fur coat with like, it was almost like it had army print UV. It sounds really weird, but it was quite nice.
Okay, yeah.
And so all you could see was the middle of the stripes. So it looked like it was straight, but it was one of the most, I just remember, and this was like, it was a good shoot. It was a professional shoot. It was the director as well. I can't remember his name, but it was a really like decent shoot, and I got it through recommendation from my friend who's a stylist. Was like, I have a friend who's a makeup artist, so that's extra pressure. And of course, I'm gonna take any job to get my name out there, you know. At this time, it was just so embarrassing, but it all worked out fine.
And that's how we got the nickname Bendy Robert.
That's how I got the nickname Arms Up Robert.
Arms Up Robert to this day.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Christ. We did so much work for free, though. Like, we used to, like, meet just random photographers and, like, stylists and whatever, and, like, team
here's,
up with
here's
them.
The thing, though. Like, back in those days, Instagram wasn't around. Facebook wasn't around. So your portfolio was... iPads weren't around. Mm-hmm. Your portfolio was a physical printed out copy. And it was expensive to do these things. You couldn't just get, like, lights and stuff and set them up in your room like you can now and take a picture of yourself. Mm. Back then, a picture of yourself in your own portfolio wasn't acceptable. It wasn't considered an acceptable portfolio. So you had to have all these amazing quality shoots, like editorial standard looking shoots, that you had to make do yourself.
And that's why you don't work for free, because you can get that stuff in your portfolio.
Exactly.
Like, you'd work until your portfolio looked amazing, like flowed well, and then you can put yourself out there.
Yeah.
Ugh, Christ.
So much time. I'm sure I have so many other stories, but I think...
Don't come flooding back.
Yeah, all these jobs become such a blur, especially when you kind of like... You kind of have like a wedding season and you have like a thingy season. So they all become, you know, one kind
That's
of...
That's the thing, like, whenever you do a day on a shoot, you kind of like spend, what, hours, like the whole day there. Then once it's done, you come home and then you kind of forget about it again. Like the amount of shoots I've done where I've never seen the finished product, like...
Do you remember? So this was more recent. So we had, we were doing, were you there that day? It was a show and it was for our friend who was a hairstylist, and it was like this, it was like amazing hair, amazing clothes, and I was keying the show, which means if you're the key artist on a show, it means you come up with all the looks, then you explain them to the artists, you demonstrate them really quickly to your team of artists, and then they create them, and then you kind of be like, oh, do this, fix this, just to get all the looks consistent.
Yeah.
So as a favour... to our friend wanted a photographer to take pictures off a day, basically, because it was like a big deal for him. So he was like, would you do it for free? And she was like, yes, but only if my friend can be part of a makeup team. So
I don't remember this.
Do you not remember this?
No.
So here's the thing. I haven't worked like on a show for ages, so I don't know how it is now, but a lot of the time, the makeup artist won't turn up all dolled up with loads of makeup on or anything like that, because you definitely don't have time to touch up your makeup. You definitely don't have time to worry about how you look, because it's quite an intense atmosphere.
You get there like 5 a.m, you look like shit, exactly. You haven't showered, you're wearing all black.
Exactly. All you've had is caffeine, and that's all you're going to have for the whole day. You're going to eat at 12 o'clock that night. If you can get to the buffet, it's a good thing. But yeah, you're wearing all black and, you know, you look like a team. You're ready to work. Being a makeup artist isn't about looking incredible yourself. It's about making your model look amazing, you know? So this was a group of people that I could really, really trust. It was people I've worked with in the past. It was people who I knew were extremely, extremely professional. And they all had their own kits, their own professional kits. They've received a brief before, so they knew what to bring in their kit. So they were all set up on their stations. It was all going really well, and then the girl turns up late, who was the makeup artist, who was this person's friend. So bear in mind, our whole team, we're all wearing black, we don't look great, you know. She turns up in this really tight like catsuit, which is absolutely fine if she feels comfortable doing it. And then her hair's like all pulled back, all really nice, and then curled and like, curled down. She looks really she actually looked really, really cute. So her kit is a personal makeup bag with a few little bits in it. So I was like, right, you're going to have to use some pieces from our kit, but please be careful. There's nothing worse than people mixing up your kits and taking stuff. Because a lot of time, you're going to have the same products as some other people.
Yeah.
She spent the time... I gave her first model, and it's a really simple, simple look. It's a block of colour on the eye. That's all it is. I'm like, this is your look for this model. And that's, you're actually going to do this look maybe 2 or 3 times, because that way you can be more consistent with it. So I was like, done. She understood the brief. I showed her the pictures, all this kind of stuff. Showed her the model. She was like, okay, great. So I go, I'm checking on all the other people, seeing what's happening, seeing how we're doing for time, all this other stuff. I go over to her. Yeah, her brief was a block of blue on the eye, just a block of blue colour on the eye, and that was it. I go over to her, and she's done a pink glitter and green, a green glittery liner. Yeah. And I was like, oh, what's this? And she was like, oh, I just thought it would be a little bit more colourful, a little bit more. I was like, yeah, but that's not the brief. That's not the brief. You have to bear in mind that the makeup is in sync with the clothes. It's in sync with the style of hair. It's in sync with the images. It's in sync with this whole whole overall image that's going to, you know, the way it's going to look on stage. And also pink and green haven't been chosen for colours because of the clothing and hair colour. And she was like, oh, okay. So we had to get her to wipe it off and then do it again. So she did it, but she had to borrow products from us. She didn't have a product, which is fine. So instead of moving on to her next model, she then takes this moment to kind of explore everyone's kits. So she's touching everything. She's like, I want these. You guys are so lucky. All this stuff, she's touching everything. It just isn't going well at all. The male models are flirting with her like crazy. Jesus. And she's like giggling and going, oh my God, do you think I look like Khloe Kardashian? All this stuff. And it's like, okay. It's like, listen, it's fine. You can flirt with whoever you want. But like,
do the job first.
Get on with a job. Get on with a job. You can have a laugh with them. But here's the thing as well. Even as a makeup artist and with models as well, you have to be really firm because they fuck about like crazy. Mm-hmm. They're on their phones. They pick up their phones. All this kind of stuff. It's like, no, listen, we need to get... You don't understand the urgency. Mm-hmm. But it just got worse and worse and worse. And then I was like, okay, I went to go and check on this model if this model was done. And she's standing in the mirror sucking one of those red lip plumpers. You know those? Do you remember those cups? They were like red cups that you stick your
lips
in.
Like the Kylie lips.
Exactly. And they were plump up your lip. And I was like, oh, what are you doing? She's like, oh, this is just something I had in my kit. Like, I thought it was kind of cool. Have you seen it? I was like, yeah, of course I have. But I mean, let's not. And if it's in your kit, you're then going to put it back in your little kit bag and it's been all in your mouth and you just haven't sanitized it. It was just one of the worst things that's ever happened to me. It got to a point where I was like, okay, here's some loose powder and a brush. Can you go and powder everyone's noses? And it wasn't even a job that had to be done. I was just like, please just get...
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, we're done, you can go. And then we weren't done, but I just had to get rid of her. And here's the thing, there's learning and being an apprentice or being like someone's assistant, which you get loads of people who assist in makeup, but they're really, really professional because they're trying to start a career for themselves. But to walk around to be like, I'm just going to do what I want and change up this whole thing. Things are really, really, when you see like a runway show or an editorial shoot, everything has been considered. The lighting, the makeup has been considered with the lighting, the clothing, and then the makeup and lighting have been considered with the clothing. Everything ties in together. It isn't just, you don't just rock up on a day and you're like, oh, what should we do, you know?
Yeah.
So that really, really annoyed me. And what it was even more annoying is that it was our friend's like big day. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was like his, something he'd been working for towards for a really long time, to have his own kind of show. And it just really, really annoyed me. Really irritated the hell out of me.
That's the thing as well, I think, when it comes to, I don't know, about like with makeup art, well, it is with makeup artists, but with stylists as well, there's real different levels of stylist, like, and you need to kind of know your place. Like, I was a commercial stylist and a personal shopper. I wouldn't be working on magazines. I worked for magazines when I was an assistant photographer, but that's not my position when I was working for as a stylist. So there's a real difference as well between makeup artists that's like commercial, works in a shop sometimes, then someone who does editorial, works on runways, works on that kind of stuff. As far as like the attitude goes and what you need to do, right? There's
Well, but here's the thing. You'll find a lot of people... I saw a comment actually on one of my videos that really annoyed me. And it was something like... It wasn't aimed at me. It was aimed at people in general. They were like talking about makeup artists and how influencers aren't necessarily always makeup artists. And they were like, it's like when you go to a makeup shop and they call themselves makeup artists when all they're doing is working in a shop. But I was like, actually, these people, well, again, when we used to do it, would work for free on some of the most incredible shoots, be credited in a magazine, you know, like big magazines, and then have to go and work full-time because they need the money. So the difference is not necessarily the person, because you can be working in a MAC shop and then the next day you could be on a professional shoot, or you could be doing fashion week, or you could be doing a celebrity's makeup, you know. It isn't what see, so here's the thing, the makeup I do on Instagram or the makeup I do on my YouTube isn't what I would do. It's a completely different kind of makeup to editorial, to everything like that. It's completely different. I wouldn't experiment with products. I wouldn't experiment with makeup. You know, you have to stick to certain rules. So what someone might do in a shop isn't what they would do in their professional work. I don't consider my Instagram my professional work. That's my Instagram work. That's my YouTube work. So it is completely different. So you have to kind of, like you said, realize where you're at, what job you're at, and kind of what stage you're at. If you're an assistant, be ready to just stand there cleaning brushes. Do you know what I mean? But you're learning, it's the experience. Everyone's done it. Everyone's assisted it, like big makeup artists. Again, to get that name, you get your name out there and meet people, and it's just what you do. But
it's like any job. You work from the bottom and work your way up.
Exactly. But you could literally go into any makeup shop and have your makeup done by someone who's done like a major celebrity's makeup, and it's not a big deal, you know?
Yeah.
So we just found out I was recording from my MacBook speakers, my MacBook microphone, instead of my microphone. So sorry. Yeah, sorry about that, guys.
Sorry about that, guys.
But yeah, so let me tell you a few stories.
Yes, please.
Yeah, and no, let me tell you. We were literally speaking about this last night, I think it was. One of the worst things I had... So when I worked for Top Man, it was the personal shopping suite. So it was where we'd get stylists come in who were having to dress like a TV program or something commercial. We'd get celebrities and VIPs who wanted a private area to shop. And then when we had like really quiet days, we just get people in off the shop floor and mm-hmm. help dress them kind of thing.
And this was like the flagship store in Oxford Street in London.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. So it was where head office was. Philip Green worked there as well. I know, we'll not call him Sir Philip Green.
No.
Absolute gross. He was a dick. But so we were very kind of like in a nice private area. We'd have Top Man upstairs, Top Shop downstairs, and then we get people could book an appointment to have like a half hour session, an hour, like a 2 hour with us, I think. Yeah. It was and we do everything from picking an outfit to rebuilding their whole wardrobe. So every so often we would get like a TV crew in doing something, like whatever it would be, like filming backstage for like the X Factor we had once.
Yeah.
Had a few YouTubers come in and film like videos and stuff. We'd ghostwrite for a lot of YouTubers and that as well. So one day we were filming for a TV series called it was something like Secrets of the High Street. Mm. Like Cherry Healy?
Yeah.
Yeah, the presenter.
Yeah.
Secrets of the High Street. And it was all about Oxford Street and how you can shop like on Oxford Street, basically, and all the cool like little locations around it that you might not have known about. It's like Selfridges were on it, Harrods were on it, Top Man was on it, and they were doing all their different personal shopping things. Top Man was also an official sponsor of Fashion Week, so we do a lot of backstage stuff there as well. They had their own Fashion Week collection. So it was like a real kind of like brand that a lot of like the media would focus on.
Yeah, and it was the space as well in itself, because I used to like come and visit you at work sometimes. Mm. It was a very like luxury experience. Like
it was so luxury.
You like walked into this really quiet part of it, then through these doors that was like its own area. It was really private. Mm-hmm. It wasn't loud. It was very much a luxury experience.
Yeah, we had a lot of rules as far as like what we could wear, what we couldn't wear. Mm. The approval process for the job was fun, the training and stuff. But yeah, everything had to be approved, and Philip Green would always come through and rant about stuff, and like the girls would have to quickly put on lipstick and heels if they weren't wearing lipstick and heels and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, we were filming this documentary, and the idea was to show like an average appointment, like of like a general guy from the street coming in and having his whole wardrobe done. And I think it was Channel 4, and I feel so bad because the producers has obviously picked a really socially awkward guy on purpose to show you, like, the
transformation.
Exact extreme.
Yeah,
of, like, this transformation kind of thing. And I had a little brief beforehand with the producer, and usually we'd have this sit-down chat and brief with the guy coming in for an appointment.
Yeah.
And he was like, this guy is bold, he loves really strong colours, patterns, he's got a couple £1,000 to spend on this appointment, and he wants a whole new wardrobe. I was like, perfect. I was like, we just got the Fashion Week collection in, I remember, and like Limited came in as well, which is like a limited collection. And being the flagship, we had loads of different brands in there as well, and designers and stuff. So I pulled this whole kind of like rail and this whole room of like loud outfits. I put outfits up on the wall. We had these sliding doors so you could reveal like different outfits and stuff.
Yeah.
And he came in and he was just wearing a check shirt with like jeans and some Converse. And I was like, oh, comfy day kind of thing. Mm-hmm. He was carrying this little plastic bag with him. This like little blue like sandwich bag.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, like, nice to meet you. And this guy was so painfully shy. Like, it made me feel awkward. In a job like that, you cannot be shy. You can't be awkward. You have to touch people. You know, you have to, like, physically dress them.
Yeah.
And he was so awkward that it was making me, like, really nervous. And there was this film crew, like, filming our introduction. They made us
reintroduce each other to ourselves like 10 times. We've done 10 different takes of him walking in and shaking my hand. It was just getting more and more awkward. And then we sat down and did this like consultation, a pretend consultation, where we actually just talked about whatever, and they filmed us and kind of voiceovered it, I think.
Yeah.
Not voiceover, but they were like, this is the consultation stage. But one thing we always used to have to do, which is like a rule of our area, was take the person's personal belongings and put them in a fitting room, like one of the dressing rooms, because that would show the other stylist that that room was in use.
Right.
Or was, or like was currently being pulled for. And they filmed it and they were like, asked to take his bag. It's like they knew what this guy was doing. They knew exactly how this guy was. And they knew that his bag for the day, like people bring a backpack or they bring a purse or like a side bag. And he had this little sandwich bag with some sandwiches in it and a drink. And I was like, let me take your bag. And I took the bag and it was like this little sandwich bag. And I just kind of like put it to one side.
It is the most hilarious thing. Just before you go even further into it, I only found out yesterday that this wasn't a joke. I thought, I watched it on TV and I thought this whole bit was meant to be funny.
Like,
I thought it was comedy. I thought this guy was an actor. Because this point where you're like, let me take your bag, and you take this plastic bag that has like a sandwich in it. And like, you're like, okay. And it was just like one of the most hilarious things I think I've ever seen. And I thought it was a joke up until yesterday. Oh. I didn't realise he wasn't an actor.
It was so awkward. But they made us do that a couple of times. They made us like reshoot that a couple of times. And I could see my manager was like laughing out of like awkwardness. And I was like, whatever. Like, we had some real like characters in there anyway. So like, whatever.
Yeah.
But I was pulling all this stuff for him. We were choosing like a few casual outfits, some like loungewear, some like night out kind of stuff, some bits, some work stuff. Bearing in mind, the producers told us he had thousands of pounds to sell.
Yeah.
They're like, he's really rich. That's like, he's rich. He works in like IT consultancy or something like that. And I didn't even know what that was.
No.
So we get to the till and they're filming us and we're putting it all through and we wrap it all nicely in like tissue and put a sticker on it and put it in these like custom bags and stuff. And the total was, like, it was only about £900, because even though we had a target to reach, we would always like to cut it down and, like, pick clothes that you can mix and match.
Yeah,
and, like,
make it realistic. With
the stuff you already have at home, yeah. And he was like, I've only got about £50 to spend. And I was like, oh, my God. I remember looking at the producer and thinking, what the fuck? So on camera, I was like, oh, that's okay. Like, let's get rid of some stuff. Let's, like, what outfit did you really, really like? Let's just go for that. And that was fine, but then it aired, and it was just absolutely awful. It made us look like a pushy business.
That's why I thought it was funny. What it was. It was kind of a situation where this guy was so out of his depth that it was comical. And I thought he was like someone who worked on a team. They were like, oh, would you pretend to be this really funny guy? It was the most hilarious thing I've ever seen.
It's honestly one of the worst things. It made us look like a business who tried to get money from people and we pushed them into buying stuff, which is the exact opposite of what we had to do.
Right.
Like, there were times where we told people they weren't buying stuff. We were like, no, you don't need that. You don't need that. Like, people wanted to buy exact replicas of what they were already wearing and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It was just awful. It was one of the worst days of my, because it went on for a whole day. And the producers just kept lying to us and lying to us about who this guy was.
They obviously I think they set it up. Like, they have to sell something like that.
They set up to, like, make, like, a narrative. So when it aired, I was like, this is absolutely... Didn't we? We watched it. I can't remember if we watched it in our living room.
It was hilarious.
It was absolutely awful. Awful, awful, awful. One the other, I'm going to, like, talk about celebrity now. Like, a really bad job I had was with... Oh, what's his name? Jesse from Desperate Housewives. He was the gardener.
Oh, Jesse something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he just walked in. I don't know whether he had heard about the room before or whatever. There were people like following him. So we got him in quick and put him in a room. And whenever we got a celebrity in who was relevant at the time, we would phone head office and be like, how much? Because celebrities are allowed gifted items and allowed big discounts and stuff. And he was allowed £100 worth of free product. And then he was allowed 50% off anything else that he wanted. And he was with us the whole day trying to spend this like £100.
No.
But he was like, he wouldn't let us finish until we hit it exactly at £100.
Are you kidding?
Does that make sense? So like, we'd be shopping for stuff on the shop floor and then he had like £10 left. And I was like, there's like two for free. £3. No, was it free for £10 t-shirts over there. Let's just get a few basic t-shirts, like a black, white and a grey.
Hmm. And then we put them through. Then he was like, oh, no, I really like this jumper. And every time, like, I remember, like, every half hour, we'd have to go to the till and kind of like re-work out the total. Ugh. And then it was just absolutely unbearable. And then I remember at the same time, we had, like, this, like, amazing Chinese guy who would come in, like, once a year and just buy everything, absolutely everything. He was really rich. He was, like, the first guy to get stem cell surgery in his face or something. I remember that was, like, his claim to fame. And he was amazing. We loved talking to him when he came in. We'd actually shut the whole room down for him. And you would spend that much money. We only saw him once a month. And in there, you would make friends with clients and you'd want to catch up kind of thing. But this Jesse guy was taking up so much room, and it was just literally every half hour recalculating, trying to get bang on £100.
Oh,
he wasn't
going
to spend anything more. Even if he went £2 over, he would have got 50% off that, so it would have been £1. Do you know what I mean? And but he wouldn't have it, and it was the most awkward, infuriating, like, appointment ever. And
yeah,
he
of course.
Didn't even book. Do you know what I mean? It was so so annoying. And then, to be honest, you just get dicks anyway in places like that. You get people coming who are, like, friends of so-and-so, and they thought they were important.
Yeah.
And, like, no one really cared.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of, like, a really bad day that I had, like, on a shoot or something. No, I don't have any bad stories. Good stories. I'm going to celebrity name drop again. good times. Beyonce came in. That was beautiful. they were really late. So basically in Top Man, what we do is we'd go home for the day. So we closed at really late. I think it was like 9, the store would close.
Yeah.
But then we'd often have to come back at like midnight or 11 p.m.
Yeah.
So that celebrities could shop in private.
Yeah.
And they'd have the whole store. So somewhere like Beyonce, we'd have the whole store for. So we did that. We went home, like, got dressed, whatever, came back, and we'd often, like, take new clothes off the rails and wear them with the tags on.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they just put them back on the rails.
Yeah.
They were really late. Her and Jay-Z, and I think her mum was there, like, an hour late. And then what we used to have to do was line up so that the celebrity security could see who
everyone
was working.
Yeah.
So we were all lined up, and then Beyonce comes in. She's really small, like a lot shorter than I thought. And Jay-Z comes in. They're wearing matching hoodies and the cutest thing ever. And she's like stunning, like absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
And I don't care about celebrities at all. Like, it doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
But everyone was, no one was speaking. Like, all the people that were working, Beyonce was like, hey. No, she just said like that. Hi, guys. Hey, everybody. She's like, hi. And everyone said hi. And she was like, she went, sorry, we're late. We had dinner. And it kind of ran behind. And, you know, God knows it's probably like 10 times more difficult for them to eat dinner.
Of course.
But no one said anything. We were just standing there, like, all looking awkward. Like, everyone was like laughing, like pretending laugh, like, oh, that's okay.
Yeah.
No one was saying anything. So I was like, what did you have for dinner? They're like, Nando's. And I was like, oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
I love Nando's. And then the manager swooped in and kind of said how it was all going to work and stuff. So then Beyonce was finished downstairs, so she came upstairs and shot with Jay-Z.
Jay-Z.
And this is like a mix of like one of the best moments of my life, but also the worst, because Beyonce wanted a pair of shoes. She wanted these, like, they were like, not UGG, but they were like boots with a fur trim at the top. I think they might be like Caterpillar or something. So I go into the shoe stock room, and we never used to do that. We used to get people in the shoes to bring us in the shoes.
Yeah.
Because they make commission as well.
Yeah.
And we went in, and we didn't have the size. The size wasn't there at all. And I'm in there, like, going, like, cold sweat, thinking, I've got to go out there and tell Beyonce that we don't have the shoes she wants. And, like, that's bad enough when it's a normal client, because it's like, fuck, I've got to find another pair. Like, it's going to throw off the whole
outfit.
It'll
be fine, yeah.
It'll be fine, but I'm going to have to go out and tell her. And I was like, I can't do it.
Yeah.
So I went outside and kind of like avoided them. I went the long way around. I texted my manager. I was like, can you come over here? I was like, I'm by the basic tees. I was like, you need to go and tell Beyonce we don't have her shoes. I was like, no. He was like, I'm not doing that. I was like, just come and tell them. It's fine.
Yeah.
And he was like so chilled, like super relaxed about everything.
Yeah.
So I go over. I'm like, hi.
Hi, Beyonce.
Beyonce, it's me. I'm like, we don't have your shoes, I'm afraid. And she was like, oh no, really? Then she looked at me like, are you sure? I was like, yeah. I was like, I'm so sorry. She said, that's okay. And then I kind of walked up and I don't know why, but I felt like crying. I just wanted to go behind the shoes and cry. But she was so sweet. And it was such like a nice, like, it was a really amazing job. And like those nights, kind of like, even though it was like 1 o'clock in the morning, we're like nice.
Yeah.
That's
really cute.
Yeah, she was really nice. And I have to say, like, when it comes to, like, celebrities, it's usually the A-listers that are the nicest people you're ever going to meet.
Yeah.
Because they just don't care. Naomi Campbell, one of the nicest people I've ever met.
Yeah.
I thought she was going to throw a phone at me or, like kick you in the face. Yeah, spit in my eye. So sweet. I did one thing for her. I think it was, like, bring down a pair of shoes for, like, a guy that she was with. And she was just really overly grateful. Like, she was really nice.
Yeah.
But then it's like the Z-listers or like the TV presenters are always a bit like
worse. So there's this person, we won't say a name, who me and James both kind of came into contact with through our working lives. Mm. And this one person.
TV presenter.
That's all. Whenever I would be with her, she would always be on the phone. Always, constantly, constantly on the phone. Never come off it once. Ever, not even acknowledge anyone around her. She was the worst person. She wasn't even that big at this time. She was just complete, horrendous person.
Yeah, so this same woman would come into the downstairs personal shopping in Topshop and she'd bring usually like a gay friend with her or like her brother or something.
Mm.
And obviously we had like snacks, we had champagne and stuff. And if a celebrity came in, if he wanted food, we'd go and get them food depending on what level.
Yeah.
So a lot of work would go into this lady coming in, hoping we can make up costs
some
with
money,
her buying food. But every time she'd come in, she'd go into the VIP bit. We had obviously the VIP rooms, but then we had like the VIP bit.
Yeah.
She would take off her shoes, put her feet up on the sofas, the suede sofas, just drink with her friend, whatever friend she brought in, and buy nothing. She spent hours in there, absolute hours. And I'd have to be down there every time in case the guy wanted anything upstairs.
The absolute
honestly
worst.
Honestly, the worst.
So if anyone's familiar with these in the UK, there was this two girls. I can't remember what they auditioned for. They were called the Cheeky Girls.
Oh, my God.
What did they audition for? Was it like Pop Stars or something?
Oh, it's Pop Stars, yeah.
Pop Stars, way back in the day. And they're famous for not being able to sing.
Mm.
And they're from Transylvania. They're two identical twins. The rudest people I've ever met in my life.
Really?
Yeah, really, really, really rude. Like, they wouldn't talk to anyone. They'll give put rubbish in people's hands, like they'll be eating something and put like awful. They tried to give me some like a food wrap and I was like, there's a bin right there, I'm not touching it. Like, who are you? You're famous because everyone's laughing at you and you treat people like crap. Like, awful. Hated them.
Yeah, and that's the thing as well. I think like when you are constantly surrounded by these like celebrities, it gets less and less interesting every time someone walks in. You're like,
absolutely,
I really don't care. And that thing is meeting them, it does. I think Taylor Swift and Beyonce are the only two people that I met that I'm like, wow, you're actually amazing. Everyone else, they're just people. Like, obviously Beyonce and Taylor Swift are too, but they really are. You know, people say like everyone boos, and it's like they do, but they literally are so not bland, but they're so average when you meet them in real life.
Yeah.
They're obviously great. They're celebrities because they're good at what they do.
Yeah.
But it's just so, like, I never get the fascination with, like, celebrity culture or, like, gossip.
No. Unless it's somebody you idolise. Like, I mean, if I met Oprah, I would cry.
Oh, that would do it. I would
be like, give me some of your mashed potatoes. Yeah. And they were the best mashed potatoes I've ever had in my life. And then that would be me. But yeah, it's...
Although when the cast of Glee came in, I did scream into a pile of clothes in the back because I was watching it at the time. Remember, they all came in. And then, I just ran around the corner and screamed and then went back out. It's like, can I get anyone a drink?
Do we take off your shoes and sit on our sofas?
I'm trying to think of like a really bad like job I was on.
I'm trying to think.
Oh, God, I remember when I worked for ASOS, right, we used to do this thing where we'd go out on the street and we'd interview men and be like, what's your fashion staple for like winter?
Yeah.
Half of them would be like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
But I wasn't very good on camera. That was the first time I'd go on camera and like,
you had a microphone and everything, like holding
a
microphone.
I had a fucking microphone. And it was just the worst day. And I remember I was coming to the end of like working at ASOS and I was like, they're not a bad company to work for. It's just we were stylists and they were trying to turn us into like influencers, basically.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, the guy that he was, like, head of men's social or something. I couldn't get this outro. It was something like, so there we have it. There's what men of London are wearing for spring, summer, or something, like, something ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I kept saying it wrong, but I was like, how am I getting it wrong? And I wrote it down to this big argument, and he kept repeating what I was saying. I was like, whatever I said, it sounds absolutely fine. I was like, let's wrap up now. Like, it was like the worst day, like going out on the street in the cold and interviewing people and trying. It's a whole day of like stopping people and asking if they
want to be recorded.
And
everyone's in London. No one wants to stop. Everyone's doing stuff.
There's a camera crew on the street every day in London. Like, exactly. You pass, like, and you have no to try and avoid them
all the time. Yeah.
All the time. And it's like, and in the end, you get what, like, 5 people in your video out of 20 that you interviewed. And it's like one of the worst, like, literally, like, I hated doing it. I absolutely hated doing it.
It sounds horrific.
It was awful. It was awful. Ugh. I look back on the videos now, though, and I'm like, I can't, like, I used to be so awkward on camera. So awkward. But other than that, we've been very lucky.
Well, yeah, we've been extremely lucky, and it's very easy to complain about your job. Like, we can complain about our jobs now, but actually we've been incredibly lucky for our whole careers.
Our whole careers, yes.
The right people at the right time would summarise my career.
Falling into every job you've ever had by accident. But, you know, that's a serious, like, point, though. I think, like, a lot of people, like, so I went to university thinking I was going to be a photographer. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I've had so many different jobs to what I'm doing now, which is probably what I'm going to be doing for a long time until something else happens as an extension of this. I think, like, whilst a lot of people are now, obviously, with lockdown and stuff, not able to do their final year exams, and they don't really know what college they're going into because they've not been able to apply, for example, or they're going to uni, but they can't start this year. You know, everything going on. It sounds so cheesy and so cliche to say, but what is meant to happen will happen, and it will just happen.
Exactly.
I know that sounds really bad, but as long as you're working hard at whatever you're doing at that particular moment in time, opportunities come up everywhere else.
That's it. I've had so many jobs, all like the same job, but loads of different jobs. It just, there's always, something is always going to happen, or something is always going to equate to something else. You know what I mean? It isn't just like the end of it and that's the end of that. You know, things lead on to something else. That's how things happen, literally.
Yeah. And just be nice. Like, if you work in this kind of industry as well, word spreads about people very, very quickly.
It's so easily.
Yeah, I think you put it in any kind of, like, industry. Be nice to people. Work hard. Whilst you're at work, do things for free if you have to.
Yeah.
But just be nice, and it does really get you such a long way.
It really does. That was that. I hope you guys enjoyed listening to our stories. And
yeah, we just thought we'd have a chat today.
Yeah. Let's have a chat, really. Let us know if you've... Oh, you know what? Some work horror stories would be really great conversation. Yeah, that would be really
send
nice.
Us some work horror
Let
stories.
Us know some. But yeah, thank you so much for joining us again, everyone. We are available on Spotify now. It seems like ages ago that happened, but I think it's only been one episode we've been on Spotify. So you can go and listen on there. Don't forget to rate, review, subscribe. I don't know if you can do that on Spotify and iTunes. I'm not sure.
I have no idea.
Absolutely no idea. Can I just also mention something? A lot of people ask about the Google something. Podcasts in the UK are unable to submit to them.
Why?
I don't know. It just blocks. It just blocks us. Okay. It's like you can't
Let's
do it.
Let's look into that.
So we will, of course we'll try, but we're not illegal people. I don't know what is a VPN. Thank you so much again, guys. Don't forget to follow us on our Instagram at the Double Cleanse Podcast. I've been Robert Amash.
And I've been Jesus.
Thank you. Okay. Thanks, guys. Have an amazing week. Oh, there's my doorbell. Bye.
Better go get it, boy.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.